Hong Yumi, I've been enjoying watching your favorite sports, and there was this professional player who expressed his desire to sign with a team in his home state, but because of that, he will not be able to sign a contract the following year in the same team. His team traded him to another team, a team that is not so popular. But the player do not desire to be in that team. Nevertheless, he helped the team to become champion. And the following season, he left that team, the champion team, and joined the basketball team he dreamed to play with. But during the interview, his former coach, coach of that not so popular team, he was interviewed, and he talked about the former star player, and he praised and appreciated. He said his work ethic is exceptional, and he is really professional. And nothing the coach said that may backlash or say, he said negative, he said no negative things, all positive things he said about that professional player. Well, that player, star player, did not dream to play in that not so popular team, but he helped the team to become champion. He exerted much effort. He played his best effort. And his professionalism as player, it helped him to get much higher payment from the team that he desired to play for the rest of his life. Certainly, his effort were appreciated handsomely, but that is not what everyone may experience. Personally, especially for you students and working people, do you think like you deserve much better than what other treats you, than what your teacher or your boss or other people treat you? Do you think you deserve much better? Do you feel like your effort had been overlooked or underappreciated? Well, the scripture, it has open secret, how you will be appreciated for your effort, so that you would not complain, you would not be complaining, saying, I deserve much better, deserve much better. So be prayerful, because this is biblical open secret, that you may be able to practically apply what is commanded in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Let's read prayerfully. Obey your earthly master in everything, earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And there is no favoritism. When it says there is no favoritism, even Christians would not miss that. Even if we do not openly say that we are Christians, others would observe our behavior, our attitudes. They will observe. Especially your authorities, especially your boss, especially your teacher. Does this person deserve to be promoted or given increase in salary? Does this student deserve to have higher grades, additional bonus in their grades? When we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a mandate. He mandated us to testify, to be a witness for Him, to be His witness. And He situates us, places us where He assigned us to practically testify for Him. Wherever we go, wherever we are, where we are, wherever we are situated, it's a divine appointment, divine place for us. God has planned that for us to testify. May it be in our home, will I testify to my family? May it be in the park, will I testify to my friend? May it be in school, will I testify to my peers, my classmates, or my teachers? May it be at workplaces, will I testify to my office mates, to my boss, to customers, to contractors, everywhere, even when we are driving. People would take note of your plate number. Ah, that plate number, that is very good. I like that. He always give way. He always follow traffic lights. I know that car, especially if your car is something peculiar. They will know it. This is why it's good to have a car that is not very popular, so that people may not observe you, but there are people who still observe you. Maybe your passenger is observing how you drive, and I know that. Are you very conscious of our mandate to witness for Christ? Our lifestyle, it serves as practical proof of the transformation that the Lord has done in our life. Well, our life is work in progress, meaning we still commit mistakes, but let's pray that we do not stay in the same level. Instead, we grow more mature, spiritually mature. Pray that you may be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and everything would follow. When the Holy Spirit of Christ is in control of our life, you would not worry. What shall I say? But how do I behave? Because it's Him who would enable us and help us, even without our conscious knowledge. He would help us speak properly. Pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Pray that you would be intentional as witnesses of Christ. As we intentionally wait for divine opportunity, how we may tell others or testify of our faith in Christ, how God transformed our life, how should we behave then? If we are also conscious about that, are you conscious of your behavior? How can we control our choices, our desires, our thoughts? How should we behave before others, publicly or even privately? Even when nobody's watching, how do we behave? Let's read again verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Now, being foreigner and exiles, we have similar experience being non-born Canadians or immigrants. But even as citizens, even if you are born in this world, you still feel like you are alien because you are. Your citizenship is in heaven. Apostle Paul, he wrote to the scattered exiles in the present-day Turkey, Asia Minor. That was the original, they were the original recipient of his letter. And he addressed possible struggles with prejudice because they were exiles, they were foreigners, possible racism of believers in a foreign land. Have you experienced that? You feel like you feel did you experience some kind of prejudice in your workplaces, in school? It has been observed, and it can minimize hatred if you compromise and associate with their lifestyle. If you say, if you speak the way they speak, if you behave the way they behave, they may not bother you. You may avoid animosity from hostile individuals if you follow what they do. If they are having rallies out there and you participate, they may not bother you. When Apostle Peter addressed dear friend, he said, "Dear friend, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." He may have wanted to this his recipients, the original recipients, he wanted them to understand that he cared for them, that they were dear. Dear, what is dear? Expensive. You are expensive. You are valuable to me. Your life, your situation, it's very valuable to me. You are dear to me. That was he was trying to say. I care for you. And that, when he said, as foreigners and exiles, he mentioned that. He doesn't need to mention that. But he mentioned it because he wanted them to understand that he understood their struggles as exiles and foreigners living in Asia Minor. When he instructed them to abstain from sinful desires, abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul, he also recognized their struggle. Or he may have learned that the exiles had compromised their lifestyle. Exiled believers, they may have desired to live a good lifestyle, godly lifestyle. But because of pressure and prejudice surrounding them, they compromised their belief with sinful practices of those hostile groups. And because of that, they were not bothered much and they attracted lesser prejudice. So they feel like life became easier for them when they compromise their belief. In our generation, there are interesting religious beliefs and polarizing political ideologies. They are broadcasted, they are published, they are advertised, they are promoted in social media. You may have been tempted to comment or write your opinion to a particular ideology, particular belief. Of course, your subscribers may have clicked likes or love or emoticons that are favorable to you to signify their approval of your comments. But the public may have expressed annoyance and hostility in opposition to your article and may have written negative comments just to bother you or express their disagreement to you. At workplaces, in school, even in any public gathering, there are particular individuals who are very vocal of their political ideologies. They would readily express their religious beliefs. Now, if you shared your opinion to a particular subject matter, those who cannot agree with you might be hostile, even try to bother you somehow. So, in that situation, what did you do? How did you react? Similar situation may have been a dilemma and problem of believers who were forced to work. They are forced to work in a hostile environment just to survive. And that is the case of immigrants too. Many immigrants cannot easily, readily find the work they desire, but they are forced to work because they need to pay their bills. That happened even in the first century. Now, our reaction to hostility, it may expose our dependence on our self-effort or ability, how we cope with the situation. Our response to animosity, it may also reveal our reliance to the Holy Spirit of God. If we rely according to our belief, if we respond according to our belief, they may see in us our dependence upon the Lord. But if we respond negatively, that friend is reliance to the self. Have you thought if God had intentionally situated us in a hostile environment? Lord, why did you allow me to be in this place? Why did you allow me to have these people surrounding me? They are hostile. Did you ask such and such? Does God want us to engage in warfare? Let's look at how the Lord deal with his chosen nation, the Israelites. It narrated in Judges chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. These are the nations the Lord left to test all of those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. Now, this time, the Israelites entered the promised land through the leadership of Joshua, and Joshua defeated all the 31 kings of the Canaanites. It was listed in the Bible. But the Lord did not allow them to be eliminated totally, completely. And Joshua and the elders who served with him had died, so they don't have any particular leader at the time, and they are now living whether they would trust the Lord or trust in their ability. What do you think? Their thought might have been thinking, well, we are supremacy. We defeated the Canaanites when we entered. There might have been a supremacy thinking in their mind. So they feel like they are supermen, if you would like that term. So they depended upon themselves. And the Lord knows that. They may not consider that they won the war because the Lord enabled them to defeat their enemies. Now, in our case, do you agree that the Lord places us in a hostile environment for us to rely upon him and not depend upon ourselves to cope up with life concerns? There are a lot of life concerns, material things, how we survive, how we may testify, how we may live a lifestyle worthy to be called Christians. Do we compromise or do we abstain from sinful desires? We need the help of God to have that determination to live in godly lifestyle. We cannot do it on our own. If we say godly lifestyle, it requires godly effort. If it requires godly effort, we need God to enable us, to help us. If we say, I will live in human lifestyle, God is not needed. We can do it on our own, and it's human lifestyle. Let's read again verse 12. Live such a good life among pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now the term pagan pertains to people who do not believe in God. Somebody coined an acronym for pagan, people against goodness and normalcy. People against goodness and normalcy. Well, the scripture, this is our manual for godly lifestyle. How do I know what is godly lifestyle and what is not? We can find that in the scripture. So the more we read the scripture, the more we read the word of God, the more we know what godly lifestyle is. We have to seek the Lord to grant us that determination, desire to read the scripture and to practice, to choose living in good lives on a day, on day-to-day basis, not just during Sundays, not just during special occasions, but every day, every moment, we need the Lord. So if you can remember it, every time you remember it, Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Just, you may not understand everything, how the Holy Spirit help you, but pray sincerely. Even ask the Lord, Lord, help me to keep on seeking you, helping, seeking your help to empower me. Because most of the time we are forgetful. We forget to pray. Our deeds, our decisions, our actions, our verbal conversation or even written communication to others, those are practical exhibits. Those are practical proof of our belief. What do we believe? It is embedded in our actions, in everything we do. They practically prove who we are, what we believe as Christians. So even without trying to impress others, if we do that, others who are very observant, others who, whom the Lord had prepared to believe or imitate your testimony will be there. When it says, live such a good lives among pagans that they, though they accuse you of doing wrong, we agree when it says, live such a good life, we agree that this is godly command. It's godly command. So if it's godly command, it's natural that we need godly effort. And we do not act upon it naturally. We do not. It's not our natural tendency to live in godly lives. That's not. Our natural instinct is to live in worldly life. So we need the help of God. Keep on remembering that. But what does the phrase such good lives pertains to? It pertains to the previous command, which says abstain from sinful desires. And that is not very natural for us. To abstain from sinful desires, it's not natural. If it is, it would not have been commanded to us. Therefore, we need the empowerment of the Lord to abstain from sinful desires. And the phrase, though they accuse you of doing wrong, it suggests hostility against Christian practices or opposition to godly lifestyle. It is expected, even if you think you are doing what is good, what is kind, what is right, it is expected that others would accuse you of doing wrong. They would find something just to say, oh, he has mistaken. He is saying this and saying that, or they may cut and paste what you say or what you write. This is what the person said, and remove the most important part. Just highlight what they think is negative. And many people do that. In politics, they do that. In the first century, government officials or particular group may have required those exiles, those scattered believers, to participate. They might have required everyone to participate in social gatherings, and that included and religious practices in the community. But the exiled believers may have, no, we have a different gathering. If it is in Sundays, for example, no, we have a gathering in the church, and they are separated. They were separated. There might be gathering somewhere, and you are here. Why do you not go somewhere and join the crowd? Because you are Christians. You want to worship the Lord. Similar to that, that was what happened in the first century. And the exiled believers didn't participate in gatherings, social gatherings that included immoral activities. There were immoral activities, outright immoral activities. They didn't join religious rituals that were not biblically sound. They avoided individuals. If they know that individual, even if that individual is popular, whose practices contradict Christian doctrines, they avoid those. The first century believers were isolated somehow. So they were mocked, they were ridiculed, they were accused of wrongdoings. They pressure them. Such kind of social pressure forced the believers to compromise and join their adversaries, to limit trouble, invite lesser accusation. This is very true in politics. The color of politics in the other side of the border has divided its citizens outwardly. If you are a Republican, you are identified with what color? Red. You are red. You are Republican. If you are Democrats, you are identified with blue. You are blue. Red, blue. There are even red state and blue state because there are more Republicans in that state and more Democrats in that state. There was this hatred toward opposing political colors, and it's deadly. It's deadly. There was this outright Republicans and a Democrat just drive that truck and kill that Republican. They kill each other. They destroy each other's reputation. The mainstream media joined in. The social media is also very active. Their political ideology has been associated with religious belief and practices, because these are conservatives and these are liberals, kind like. If believers prefer to simply stay out and not get involved in politics, I'm not very sure if it is safe. Surely, we do not desire that authorities would promote activities that may distort our belief. We cannot simply ignore any government project that may displace us or put us into oblivion or obscurity. We should not compromise with popular practices that contradict our Christian belief. This is why pray that the Lord would allow the winners in Winnipeg, in this coming election, that may promote praises to God, prosperity, and peace. PPP. Peace, prosperity, and praise of God. So that every time you see those projects, you would praise God. If there's prosperity, there's peace in Winnipeg, you praise God. Pray for that. Not just because, oh, I like this, he's very friendly, I like that, or he's very friendly. Pray. Even if he or she is the one you would vote, but pray that God would allow the person he would use as his instrument of progress, peace, and praise of him. We cannot be safe being observers of political entertainment or political acrobats or political stunts. We need to pray. Are you anxious how we should live good lives in hostile and unfriendly environment? What should we pray? What should we do? First thing, we need to pray. What should we do? It instructed in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received and heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. The God of peace will be with you. Someone may still want to clarify or ask, what is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is excellent? What is praiseworthy things that I should think about? Well, this is when the knowledge of the scriptures come very useful and helpful. Now, when you are thinking about something, ask yourself, is this true? Or is this just a gossip? Is this true or just fake news? Is it noble? Or it would cause confusion? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Now, if that idea comes to mind, does not qualify with this, then ask the Lord, Lord, I don't like thinking about this. But it keeps on coming because the media, the television, everybody is talking about it, and it keeps on coming into my mind. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me just ignore, disregard these things and not get involved in this. Or else your heart would be troubled. The more we read the scripture, the more we know which biblical practices are acceptable to God. But how do we know? How do we know if it is acceptable to God? When a situation is not written scripturally. When an event, an activity is not written in the Bible. When a practice is not in the Word of God. How do we know if it is? How can we decide? Now, many people say Lotto is not in the Bible. Actually, when the Israelites divided the land of Canaan among the tribes, they used like kind of Lotto. Like number 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, 12. Choose, number 1 would be this place. They choose. Oh, number 1. So it's Judah. Okay, Judah, it's yours. Number 2, something like that. See, they use Lotto in choosing. But it's not about gathering finances. Use that because they were not very sure about it. Gambling is not in the Bible, no word written in gambling. Cigarette is not written in the Bible. How do we know that? How do we know if it is acceptable to God or not? If we decide on something like applying for this job, like I would like to be in a computer department, but the Bible is not. The Bible did not mention about computer or high-tech gadget. How should we decide? There are many decisions I made several unconventional decisions and choices in life. But when I did, I felt no regret when I sensed the peace of God in me. As long as I sense the peace of God in me, even if I cannot explain intellectually to doubters, I will do it. Why did you resign from your job? Why did you not continue your studies there? Why did you? There are a lot of why that I heard. But what I did, well, I keep on thinking about that. Well, maybe you are right somehow, but I don't know. I decided it, and it went good. It went right for me because I follow, I prayed, I know it is the will of God for me. So pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears fruit of peace, the peace of God. If you have that peace of God, peace from the Holy Spirit of God. Peace from God, it surpasses, it transcends philosophical opinions, even logical explanations. And you won't be anxious. You won't worry if what you did is, or what you decide is right or wrong, a mistake. God sometimes allow us to commit mistake in the eyes of others. It could be a mistake, but it could be a learning experience too. Sometimes people cannot just move from that decision because they think, oh, I made the wrong decision, I made. And they blame themselves. And they fell down all the days because they blame themselves. They blame their decision. But pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit before you decide. But even if you decide, the Bible says, all things work for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. God may have purpose even if you think you have done wrong decisions. If, condition is, if you love God, and we can love God if the Holy Spirit bears fruit of love in us. God would redirect you to a direction pleasing to Him. Pray that your lifestyle would testify of goodness, good deeds as a result or byproduct of your faith in the Lord. Let's read again verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. When the Lord mandated us, when the Lord told us, when the Lord instructed us to witness for Him, He implied that our lifestyle will serve as practical proof of His transformational work in our life. That is our first proof, our life. The Lord wants us to have that first-hand personal experience. Whatever we tell others about the Lord, when we tell others that God is love, we have to have experience that love from God first. When we say the Lord is gracious, we need to experience that graciousness of God in our lives first, to have that integrity of saying what we claim about God. The Lord did not give us instruction to, okay, argue, debate about what you believe, about the doctrines. No, it's not a command. When it's not a command and we do it on our own. When we do it on our own, trouble will come. This is why many of those who love arguments with their beliefs, they cause not really good situation. Christian beliefs and doctrines can only be accepted and understood by genuine believers. Did you hear that? If it is Christian belief, believers in Christ would accept it. But believers in something else, they would not accept Christian belief. To argue or correct or teach Christian doctrines to individuals who don't believe in Christ is not very productive. Do you like that? You want what you do to be productive. If you insist on telling them, this is what you need to do. This is why many parents may have been confused sometimes. The Bible says God will not. They use the Bible to teach children who haven't believed in Christ yet. And insist on it, well, to tell them it's good, but to insist on it that they may follow what you say because it is in the Bible, they would resist because they haven't believed in Christ yet. Even when you tell your friend or your brother, your sisters, biological brother and sisters, your neighbor about the Bible because you believe it, they may not like it if they don't believe in Christ. Faith in Christ is prerequisite to understanding Christian belief. To understand Christian lifestyle, we need faith in Christ. And the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He gives us peace despite hostility and adversity. But if you sense like you are very, you feel bad or you feel very sorry or negative feeling when you share the word of God and people would not believe and you want to argue, you want to debate, that is not from the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, when the observer wants to know why we live in good life, if they ask, why are you so kind? Why are you so generous? Why do you work like that? Why are you good? Why are you so good? Then just simply tell them, well, because I believe in Christ. And when there's follow-up question that may need explanation, that is when you go and tell them more about Christ. But pray that God would give you wisdom about that. Anyone can understand God. Anyone can understand His godly activities if the Lord Jesus Christ chooses to reveal God to them. If God chooses to reveal which godly lifestyle should be followed, if Christ chooses it. So pray, Lord, if it is your will that I would testify to this person, give me that peace. So that when I tell, he may or he may not believe, I still have that peace. It would be okay with me. Christ declares and invites us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Most of the time, we just take that passage, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But we forget that verse 27. When it says, No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal. That is very, very important. Those whom the Son chooses to reveal. They are the ones who would come to Him to find rest in Him. We just cannot push other people to believe in the Lord. If you were burdened that you cannot surely know the will of God for you, Lord, what is your will for me? What's your will for my future career? How about my children? How about my acquaintance? How about my relative? What's your will, Lord? Christ invites you to learn from Him, to take His yoke. His yoke is His teaching. If you are very familiar with His teaching and you practice it, you will sense that peace, rest. Actually, that word rest is more on, it includes recreation, kind of like. It's not just like resting from very tired, you work hard and you want to sleep. That's not enough. It includes you would have that excitement too in you. That's the rest that Christ offers. Christ offers that we can find in Him rest for our soul, and you will not be bothered by situations when we learn from Him. Why? How? How do we do that? Listening to His words, reading the Scripture can help us learn firsthand what Christ wants us to know. Whenever you hear sermons are given for the general public, for everyone, but not necessarily everything that I would say here is for you. Maybe there's one, two, or three lessons that you can learn from, but not everything. So you do not need to memorize it. Just memorize what have moved your heart. Whatever God used, whatever lesson that God used to touch your attention, move your heart, your emotion even, that's the lesson that maybe the Lord wants you to pay attention to. So we do not need to know everything at one time. The Lord knows that. This is why reading the Word of God, we do not need to read at one time and that's all. I know that. I know everything. I don't think so. I have read the Bible multiple times, and every time I return to the same passage, there's new revelation. So the Lord reveals something new every time I read the Bible. And I believe that would happen to you too if you read it. There are many godly ideas and Christian practices that may even confuse individuals. This is why there are confusion about doctrines, beliefs. This is why there are a lot of denominations these days, because there's confusion about Christian beliefs, Christian practices. Now, you may have observed when you went to the grocery store, and grocery store have already brought out product related to Halloween, right? There's aisle there full of Halloween product. Red and black colors and those things, scary things. And children, even adults, can be misled by Halloween. Why? Seemingly, it offers fun time. Fun time collecting buckets of candies, bags of candies, chocolates at Halloween nights. There are hostile individuals. They may knock at your door. Trick and treat, trick, 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 trick and treat. Trick and treat. Oh, trick or trick. Oh, see, I don't know. Trick and treat, trick or treat. If you don't participate and you don't give them what they want, you could be in trouble. And they may cause something unpleasant to bother you. If you have children, they could be tempted to try and experience knocking door to door for candies, for chocolates. This is one thing that we can pray for our church leaders. Pray that our church leaders may come up with ideas, great ideas that could promote Christian beliefs as alternatives to trick or treat at Halloween nights. Our lifestyle, our practices as adult Christians, they are closely observed by our children. The way we speak, the way we wear clothes, they also want to follow. There was a time, every Sunday, I go to church. I have my necktie, and then Louis, he had also his necktie. When he was younger, he had the necktie. Now, he loves necktie. Those are the things the Lord and the children are observing us. Any moment can be opportunity to testify of the transformational work of Christ in our life. Halloween or any occasion, we can be a testimony. But we need determination to live righteously. We need that. Lord, give me that determination to intentionally live and righteously. Christian life can be compared to rigorous and tough life of soldiers or even athlete or farmer. It challenges us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. Let's read this. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Pray that you would receive an insight. Now, have you watched a military parade? There's military parade. And then some soldiers would get out of line and take to those who are audience, there are audience there. You see the popular person and they get their cell phone and, oh, selfie, and like. And, or they would go and sign autographs and then go back to the line and continue marching. How do you appreciate that? Or you are watching a game. You watch a game, basketball game, for example, and the player will just, instead of playing, they go and argue with the. In a basketball game, there are those fans and not fans who would boo or yay. And you would argue, the basketball player would just stop playing and argue with the audience or argue with the referee, because it isn't like what the referee is doing. How would you like that? Can you appreciate that? Do you appreciate that? And there are even players who are caught using illegal supplements in cycling, in boxing, in the Olympics. They are caught. They won the game, but they were not given the reward, the medal. Why? Because they were caught not following the rules. They play not according to the rules. When it mentioned that the farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops, that is the reality that reminds us that Christ Jesus will return. He will return, and He rewards godly lives. That's for sure. So pray that you may understand this. Christians are soldiers of God. We follow our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. We listen to Him, what He commands. We are also like athletes in this world. If we want to win a reward before the Lord, we compete in this world according to the rules, godly rules, godly rules. Even if you are not promoted, or you are promoted in your work, live in godly lives, and people may observe you. Wow, this person had been here. I didn't give him a reward or raise of salary, but he was very loyal to me. I don't know. The Lord may move the heart of your employers. This is why it is advisable for us Christians. If you are a student, pray for your teacher every day, if that would be possible. And if the teacher favors you, he may or she may give you some secrets about learning that he learned, or even increase your grades. Pray for your employers, supervisors, even co-workers, especially co-workers. Why? If you are praying only for your employers and the employer would promote you, your co-worker might be envious that you were promoted because they thought, I was here first than you. Why were you promoted first? And they would not appreciate that. It is good to pray for them. So think, plan, pray, do something that may cause people to praise God. Pray also that God will empower you intentionally to live in godly lifestyle as testimony of His grace, of His mercy and love, so that observers will see the good deeds in your life and glorify the Lord subsequently. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.